If you would, to Luke chapter number 12. And it's already been mentioned, we have several to pray for. Brother David got to come home from the hospital. Let's continue to remember him. And Sister Audrey is probably by now on their way back, or close to being on their way back. She had to go to Winston and have some tests done. So let's remember her, that everything would go well there. And if it would be the Lord's will, they'd be able to do something to help concerning her seizures that she's had now for quite some time. So that's something that we need to be much in prayer about. But I want us to read this morning in Luke chapter number 12. I don't know if you can tell where I am in my yearly Bible reading. I read the Bible through every year, and I have for many years now, but I feel like I preach out of the Old Testament about three quarters of the year. And then when I get over in the New Testament, I start preaching out of the New Testament. And I feel like the past several, I couldn't tell you exactly, but I feel like I've been in Matthew, Mark, and Luke a whole lot lately. And I want to try to preach this morning out of Luke chapter number 12. But I desire your prayers. We're going to read verse 22 down through verse number 32. Luke chapter number 12. And begin reading in verse number 22. The Bible said, "And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for letting us be here today, for the many blessings, for your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come and worship today. We're thankful for the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross so that we could be saved, so that we could have access to the throne of grace, forgiveness of sins, fellowship with Thee. Lord, we realize a great price was paid that we might be saved. Lord, help us not to just take it for granted or think of it as a thing of nothing, but Lord, a great price, and we thank you for that. Lord, I pray for your help today. I pray for your liberty. I pray for freedom to preach the Word of God. I pray you'd help us as a church. Lord, I pray that you would be in our midst in all that needs to be done as we think about the schools starting back, ministries. Lots of work needs to be done. And then there's many objects upon our hearts and upon our minds, things going on. Lord, we need your help. I pray, God, you'd take the message today and increase our faith and help us and give liberty as only you can. Edify the church. If anybody's here today that's lost, I pray that you'd show them the thing they need more than anything in the whole world, is to have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'd be their personal Lord and Savior. Father, help us today and have your way. We'll thank you for all you do. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read verse number 29 one more time. That's where I want to start at today. I've been thinking about this verse this week. And verse number 29 says, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind." That is the only place in the Bible that you find that exact phrase. And we'll read it once again. Notice what he says. "Neither be ye of doubtful mind." And of course, all the verses before and after, they have something to do with verse number 29. And we're going to look at these. But I want to just focus on that a little bit today. I've been thinking about that. "Neither be ye of doubtful mind." This world that we live in, it just gets worse and worse. More scary than it's ever been before. I don't know if you noticed that. It just seems to me like all the news is manufactured for maximum fear. Sort of, do they do that on purpose? To inflict fear upon the masses. I mean, everything, no matter what it has to do with, it's all just a major big deal. There's all this news in the news about the missionaries and the Ebola, I guess I'm saying that right, outbreak, and the fear of bringing the patients back into this country, and that's bad, no doubt about that, and not saying that it's not. We need to pray for them. I'd want somebody to pray for me, but you know, there's thousands of people will die today from multiplied various diseases and viruses and, you know, all kinds of inflictions and things. I mean, that's not the only thing that can kill us is Ebola, and there's all kinds of things. But that's a thing in the news right now and got people thinking about and maybe even worrying about. But there's all kinds of diseases. I read something the other day about our border with Mexico and all the immigrants and all the people that are coming across the border and how that they're seeing measles and scabies and all kinds of just things like that. Scary time. Scary time to be living that we live in. Has it always been scary? I think that it has. But we hear more of it than we ever have before. So these things, there's turmoil and revolutions and demonstrations and protests all around the world, even in our own country. And just like the Bible says, wars and rumors of wars, and there's problems globally, nationally, locally, people in their own families, all kinds of things that they're up against, sickness and relationship problems and health problems and on and on and on we could go. And verse number 30 talks about all these things. For all these things, you know, when all these things begin to pile upon us and come down upon us, it makes us fret and worry and have anxiety in our lives. But the Bible says in verse number 29, "Neither be ye of doubtful mind." I want to preach on the subject, the doubtful mind is unnecessary. The doubtful mind is unnecessary. Jesus said, the Bible says, "Neither be ye of doubtful mind." Do you know what? This whole passage of scriptures I've read and studied over it, it is telling us the message that no matter what, God is in control. God has a handle on things. He's not sick. He's not out of the office. He's not on vacation. He's not far away and unconcerned with what's going on in our lives day by day by day. But God is in control. He is over. He is sovereign over the events of the world. He is involved in the little details of our lives. And so the key thought as I studied over this, I believe, would be where we see in verse number 24 and verse number 27, it says, consider. consider. So here's some things to think about or to remind us about, that God is in control and the doubtful mind is unnecessary. Now there's seven things I'm going to show you, so I'm going to quickly move along this morning. But number one, I believe we need to consider or remember His resources. Right, think about with me this morning, or consider just a little bit about the resources of the Lord. Look at verse number 24, what the Bible says. It says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Now, that ought to encourage you this morning. You've never seen a raven putting hay up or seed up in the barn. They don't have a storehouse or anything like that, but it's just saying God takes care of the birds. God takes care of all the animals in the world and all the fowl and all the fishes in the sea and all of these things. Look at verse number 27. It says it again, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, they're not worried, they're not fretting, they're not losing their blooms and their flowers and all of these things. But the Lord Jesus said, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 28, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? So the Lord Jesus here to His disciples, He said, consider the ravens, consider the lilies of the field, consider the grass that grows out there, all these things. He does not say, consider what Wolf Blitzer said on CNN. But you know, we put a lot more stock in something that we hear on the news than what the Bible says sometimes. But He doesn't say, consider what the newspaper says. Consider what the politician has to say. If that's all you listen to and if that's all you think about, you're going to have ulcers. You're going to worry and fret about the things that are going on in the world. The Bible does not say consider a price of gas or groceries or what the stock market's doing or something like that. He said, consider the ravens, consider the lilies, how they grow. That's what the Bible said. Now that's good for you. That's good for what troubles you. That's good for when you feel anxious in your life about the future or what's going to happen or what's going to happen to our children. A good thing to do would be to get a cup of coffee and sit down and just look outside and just cut everything off, all that noise, all that information that we are flooded with day after day after day, and just sit down in a quiet place and look out and look at the world. That is the resources of God. He's taking care of the birds. He's causing the grass to grow and the flowers, and soon it'll be fall and it'll go on and it'll go on, and God's in control. He has unlimited resources to take care of all of these things. Look at how God takes care of the world. That's what the Lord Jesus told His disciples there. Consider the ravens. Consider the lilies. We've got a lot more things we can consider. Consider the deer. Consider the turkeys. All these things. Somebody was telling me about how many deer that they had harvested down around Valley Crucis last year around the farms, and it was up in the hundreds out of the season because they're just destroying everything, eating the farms and people's yards and flowers and gardens and everything else. And it amazed me how many they had harvested, how many they'd taken away. But you know what? Drive down through there this evening and see if they're not right back. You wouldn't even know any was gone. They got plenty to eat. They're walking around fat as bears. There's one in my garden the other day. Dad and I are out there talking in the middle of the day. Up there eating my beans. Made me mad. Old fat thing. I wanted to talk to him and tell him, hey, God's got you a bountiful. Why you got to be in my garden? That's for me. Go eat something wild. But you look around, there's plenty. There's plenty. There may not be plenty on people's plates. I know there's people hungry in the world, but the Word of God tells us in the book of Proverbs, there's much wasted. And that's not an exact quotation, but there's a lot of things out here that just lay around and go to waste. There's so much. Talking about the resources of God. God is taking care of nature, and He does so in spite of humans. In spite of our meddling and our mess-ups and all the things that we do to the contrary, God's feeding the birds. God causes the grass to grow, and God causes the flowers and everything. Just look at the resources of God. And then he makes a comparison there. In verse number 24, he said, how much more are ye better than the fowls? God said, you're better than all that. I didn't say that. That's what God said. In God's estimation, you and I are better than the fowls of the air. God thinks more of us. Jesus died for sinners. He died for people, not for the birds and the bees and the trees and the grass and all. Oh, all of that's included in the redemption of the earth, but He died for you and me. He died for people. So He said, you're better than the fowls of the air. There is His resources. We shouldn't be of a doubtful mind. Number two, there's His record. Look in verse number 28, what the Bible says. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Now, that was pinned down now, going on 2,000 years ago, but you know what? It is still true today. And it was true 1,000 and 2,000 years before it was pinned down. Today and tomorrow. Do you know what? God has a perfect record concerning the todays and tomorrows. Of all the todays and all the tomorrows that there's ever been, God has successfully supplied for all of them. He's never missed a day. You've never saw a bird walking around saying, boy, I sure am hungry. God didn't come through today. I went to get a cup of coffee this morning. One of the things I was thinking about, and I do the same thing almost every day, and I sat standing there at the sink, and I looked out, and all these little songbirds out there just messing around and picking at things in the grass and twigs and pebbles, whatever it was, little bugs I couldn't see. I don't know, but I just stood there and watched them just a minute. God sure has been faithful to them. They don't go hungry. What happens to all of them in the wintertime? What you ever thought about? How does God, what about, you never think about things till you get involved with them. Abigail's got a stand of bees and been thinking about them and reading and learning a little bit. And man, it's just amazing how God has designed. His record is perfect. He provided for them. When He created them, He said, this is how you're going to make it through the winter. And they make enough to feed their own selves, and we get a little bit too. Isn't that a blessing? The way the Lord, His record is perfect. And in all of these things, since time began, through all the strife, through all the turmoils, through all the plagues and the wars and the disasters that mankind has gone through, God's record for today and tomorrow is perfect. I read the news and I keep up with what's going in the world, but what we really need a healthy dose of every day is just putting God first and putting things in perspective, not what the newspaper says and not what the internet says, but what God says. If you'll get full of that before you go to reading the newspaper or watching the news, that'll really help you to not be of a doubtful mind when it comes to, oh no, what's going to happen? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen in the world? It's just like when I was a young boy growing up and they were talking about Russia and nuclear war and Cold War and all of the things that was going on. You know what? It's all coming back around again, and same old thing. Same old thing we've heard all of our lives. I'm not saying it's not serious. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying our lives couldn't change and by tomorrow morning. But what I'm saying is God's in control. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of the grass. He always has. He has a perfect record. I believe He'll take care of us. That's what He was telling the disciples here. Are ye not better than the fowls? If God so clothe the grass, verse 28, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? God will take care of us. His record. I thought about this. Sometimes we just need to turn off all that stuff and turn the Lord on. Turn the Lord on, just getting God's Word. Go on a nature watch. Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. God keeps all that stuff in its place. I was reading something the other day. It said, scientists warn solar flare could wipe out humanity. Well, what if it is? It's not going to, not according to the Word of God. But people, I mean, they just find things to worry about. And to warn about, and to scare about, and to cause an uproar about. But God's record is perfect. He's taking care. How much more, the Bible says, will He clothe you? And, you know, verse number 22, while I'm passing along, where it says, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. Some of you need to not worry so much about what you're going to put on. Just be glad you got something to put on. Good night. You can't get into some spaces in my house for all the clothes and shoes and things. I don't think we got to worry about that. We're going to have something to put on. God's going to take care of us, His record. Look how He's taking care of you. Number three, there's His reprimand. Look at verse 22 and 23, what the Bible says. You need to write this down somewhere. Worry is forbidden. You know it's a sin to worry. It is. When we worry, what it's saying is that we don't trust God. That's what worry's doing. We don't trust what God's doing. We don't trust that He has tomorrow, but worry is forbidden. Verse 22, and He said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. God said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Life is more than that. Life is more than where you're going to eat dinner this afternoon or supper later on tonight. Life is more than that. God will take care of these things. Don't worry about it. And that's not the only place in the Bible. Philippians 4:4 said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Verse 6, be careful. That means to be anxious or worried about. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I find myself all the time, I think that's something I say more than about anything else I say. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Now, if I say to you, don't worry about it, that doesn't mean that I don't care about it. But worry's a sin. Worrying is sinful, to worry about things. It doesn't mean that you don't care about something. Maybe it'd be better to say, what good is it to worry about it? You're not going to accomplish one thing by worrying about whatever it is you fill in the blank. You say, but preacher, what about this? I don't believe you can find a verse in the Bible that says, okay, worry about that. We're not to worry about it. The Bible said not to take no thought. Don't worry about it. Maybe that'd be a good title for the message. What good is it to worry about it? It's no good whatsoever. Look here in the Bible. Worry is not only forbidden. Worry is futile. It's fruitless. It's no good. Don't do anything. Never does. Never has. Never will. Look at verse number 25, what Jesus said. And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? There's just some things you have no control over. And no matter how much you worry about it or fret about it, you're not going to change a thing. That's what he's saying. And verse 26, he says, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Your worrying cannot change a little thing. Why worry about everything you can't change? I'm not saying don't be concerned. I'm not saying stick your head in the sand and never know what's going on in the world. But to worry is a pointless, fruitless waste of time and energy and effort and health. You'll lose your health worrying about things, fretting about things, being anxious over. You never accomplish anything. It'll drive you crazy. And you won't change a thing. Not a thing. Worry is futile. Worry is far. And it ought to be far unto the children of God. Look at verse number 29. The Bible said, And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Verse 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Not us. That's what the world seeks after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Let the world worry and fret and buy all the Rolaids and all the Maalocs and run to the doctor and get this and get that and drink all the alcohol and go to all the counseling sessions and everything that they can do. But let it not be us that does that. That's what the world does. Now, I'm not going to say let them get all the gray hair because you'd think I'd been worrying about, but I don't think that's why my hair's gray. I hope not. Let them worry. The Lord said the nations of the world, that's what they do. That's how they act, not us. Psalms 127, verse 2, the Bible said, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. It is vain for you. That means it's empty, it's worthless, there's no profit in it whatsoever to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. And then you know what the next verse says? Verse 3, it says, for lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. It's no accident that verse about staying up late and worrying, the very next verse has to do with children. If anything will cause a person to stay up late and worry, it's children. And I think that's going to be until you leave this world. You're going to be concerned about your children. I used to think you worried about them when they're little. Hey, that's nothing. You wait till they get big. Start driving and moving out and being gone and working and having different friends and they get out from under. I mean, it's just, I can see now it's going to be a lifelong thing. But there ain't nothing, I mean, you raise them right and do the best you can and then it's up to them. It's up to them. And I'm telling you, that'd be a hard thing to stand and say, don't worry about it. But I try to do my best to put that into practice. Not worry about it. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. You know what that means? That means they belong to God. Now, they might be my children, but they're the Lord's too. And God loves them more than you love them. more than I love them. Worry is foreign. God knows about every little thing in our lives, and He reprimands us in the Scripture. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. Don't be like the world. They are worrying and seeking after and fretting about these things. Ought not to be us. Number four, I see His reassurance in verse number 31. Look what the Bible says. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. First of all, in verse number 31, He says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put God first. He'll take care of these things. See, we want to do the very opposite of that. When something comes up in our life, we want to make that the primary focus of our life. But God said, you put me first, you seek me first, and God said, I'll take care of all these other things. You young people need to remember that in your lives. If you will put God first, He will add these other things unto you. Just make up your mind while you're young. You're going to honor God with your life, with your employment. I tell you, I see it all the time. Young people go out here, get a job. First thing they do, knocks them out of church. And it's not long. You know what? I am not claiming to be a super spiritual or know anything in anybody else, but I made up my mind a long time ago as a young person, I would not do anything that would take me out of God's house. Not take a job. I never worked in an employment, a restaurant or a grocery store or anything like that that took me out of church on Sunday. I never considered it. I said, Lord, I do not want to be in a position like that. And you know what? God sure blessed me down through the years. I never got involved in anything. Now, I was in the military and I missed some church, but the Lord even got me out of that. God's pretty good. He knows what He's doing. Put Him first. All these other things will be added unto you. Just try Him on that and see if He's not faithful. His reassurance. Put Him first. Verse number 32, the Bible said over there like this, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little. You ought to underline that. You ought to highlight that. That's some encouraging words. Fear not. Little flock. I have big children. I have little children. Now, sometimes they get scared. And there's nothing more reassuring for me to come along when Abigail's scared. Sometimes Chloe gets scared, but usually it's Abigail. But you know, to a little child, what assures them more than anything else than for dad to come along and say, it's all right. There's nothing to be afraid of. I remember my dad when I was a little boy and we'd be afraid of the dark, and he would tell us, and I've told my children the same thing. He'd say, there's nothing out there that's not there during the daytime. Well, that makes good sense. I can understand that. There's nothing out there to be afraid of. Don't be afraid. And you know what? That'd comfort us. We'd be all right. It's lightning. It's storming. That's okay. There's nothing to be afraid of. You don't have to worry. And that calms a child down and they see everything's all right. If dad and mom's not panicking, they don't need to panic. You know what? God's not panicking, and He comes along and says, fear not, little flock. It's all right. It's going to be all right. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There's a reassurance there in the Word of God. And that is exactly the same thing as a father saying to a child, don't be afraid. God comes along and says, don't be afraid. What are you worried about? We fret and worry about things, and then when it comes and it passes, we look back and we say, wasn't God faithful? He took care of that. We didn't know what was going to happen. We was worried about that, but look how the Lord answered prayer. Look how the Lord blessed. Look how the Lord provided. Fear not, little flock. It's going to be all right. His reassurance in the Bible. Number five, there's his relationship. Now, in verse number 24, the Lord Jesus is talking about how God is able to take care of the ravens. And he said there, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. God feeds the ravens. Look in verse number 28, same thing. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today, in the field, and tomorrow is cast into heaven. So God, he clothes the fields, all the trees, all the leaves, all of these things. But now look down in verse number 30, what Jesus said. He said, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. His relationship, he's our Father. We're talking about, I'm not looking to Obama to clothe me, feed me, insure me, give me a cell phone, whatever the case might be. If that's what I was looking to, if I was looking out here for the government to take care of my needs, if I was looking to something like that, I would have ulcers and I'd be tore all to pieces. But I have a Heavenly Father. I like that song we sing, I'm a child of the King. It says, my Father's rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in His hands. We've heard preachers say he owns the cattle on the hills, all the hills, and all the taters in the hills. You ever heard that? He owns it all. And He's my Father. If you're saved by the grace of God, He's your Father, and He knows what we need. You ought to underline this in your Bible. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. What things is that? That's whatever it is you need. We're talking about needs here. We're not talking about wants. God supplies a whole lot of the things that we want. But He has promised and obligated Himself in His Word to supply our needs. And He knows what we need. He knows exactly what we need. He's our Father. It's our relationship with Him. What a blessing that is. And then there's number six. There's His reminder. Now, if you look at all of chapter 12 together, there's some lessons here. And I'm not going to draw out all of it, but just something else I want to show you. The theme or the reason that the Lord Jesus began to say these things, you got to go back in verses 16 through 21. And He told there the parable of the rich fool and how that this rich man, he had so much, he didn't know what to do with everything that he had. And he said, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Boy, he was really going to expand his operation. But if you look in verse number 21, or let's just read verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And look what he said in verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He's talking about, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself. And then you go on over to verse number 33. He's talking about treasure. And that leads up to verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, look over at verse number 33. He said, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. See, he comes back around to talking about treasure again. Where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's a lot of anxiety and worry and fretting goes on in this world over the getting and the having and the keeping of treasure. And if the treasure of this world is where your heart is, you know what? You're going to have a lot of worry and anxiety, and you might be concerned about what the stock market's doing. Where your treasure is, there your heart be also. And that's the lesson that he's getting at here. He's talking about the treasure and the keeping of stuff and the having of stuff. But if you know anything about the treasure of this world, you know this. It can be here today and gone tomorrow. The Bible said in Proverbs 23 and verse number 5, it says that riches make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. That's why there's always a bird on your money. That's why there's an eagle on your money, to remind you that it can be gone, just like a bird flying and taking off. It can be gone. Can be gone. What if it gets gone? God will still be God. He will still supply. Oh, is it the most important thing to hang on to, or to have this, or to get this, obtain this, have so much of this? That's not what is important in life. You want to have riches? Send them on ahead. That's non-taxable. That'll be there, and it'll gain throughout all of eternity. But this treasure of this world, it'll just break your heart. It'll get gone. Some of the most disappointed people in this whole wide world are rich people trying to keep somebody from taking what they've got and all of these things. The Lord reminds us some things here about treasure. There's a reminder there about stuff. And boy, we got a lot of stuff in America. And last of all, there's a reminder that something we ought to consider, and that's His return. After He talks about treasure, He starts talking about His return, that to remind us that He's coming back. Now look in verse number 35, and I'll be done this morning. Verse number 35, the Bible says, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning." That means be ready. Loins girded about, have your clothes on. Lights burning, be ready to go, even in the middle of the night. Verse 36, "And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when He will return from the wedding, and when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." What a beautiful picture that is. He said, be ready. The Master's coming back. He can come at any time. Verse 38, "And if He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants." Are you watching for Him? When it says, "and find them so," it goes back up to verse 35. "Let your loins be girded, and your lights burning, and be watching and looking. And when the Lord comes and finds them so, finds those that are looking for Him, blessed are those servants." All of that is to remind us not to be of a doubtful mind. God's in control. The Lord's coming. The treasure's in heaven. Don't worry about that. All of that. All of that. But boy, don't we worry. And don't we fret sometimes about what the future, or tomorrow, or tonight, or later on this week, or whatever it is. But I underline verse number 29 in my Bible. "And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink." And here's what I've got underlined: "Neither be ye of doubtful mind." It is unnecessary. It does not glorify God for us to walk around worrying and doubting about what tomorrow holds. "Neither be ye of a doubtful mind." I'd like for us today to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.